Let's pray together. God, we have worshiped, poured our hearts out to you in thanksgiving and praise of the one who makes mountains bow down and seas roar. And so this morning we realize that we don't invite you here. You were already here and have invited us. And so God, in this time, in this space, for right now, help us, change us, mold us, shape us to be more like your son Jesus. We give you thanks and praise, and the people of God said, amen. We are going to pick up 1 Kings chapter 19, about verse 8b, and let's continue on with the story of Elijah. Let's do that with some chutzpah. Here we go. There he went into a cave and spent the night. He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. The Lord said to him, go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael, king of over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel, and anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel Mehaloah, to succeed you as prophet. Jehu will put to death any who escape the sword of Hazael, and Elisha will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to him to Baal, and whose mouths have not kissed him. Awesome. We are in the third week of this teaching series on burnout. We have described burnout as the physical, mental, emotional, relational, and spiritual exhaustion that comes by way of prolonged and excessive stress. So here's the deal. If you find yourself checking out, if you find yourself struggling to make daily decisions, if you find yourself drained and escaping to things like food, alcohol, drugs, porn, Netflix binging, or over-engagement on Facebook for hours at a time, you may be well down the way to burnout. Now, what does the cycle of burnout look like? Well, we've just said it starts at stress, and you say, well, good luck, right? Stress, come on. Stress is part of life. It is unavoidable, let's just say that, but it is very much manageable. When you don't manage the stress in your life, it begins to lead towards a lack of balance. What's a lack of balance look like? How about all activity, no rest? How about lots of work, never time for play? So there's lack of balance in your life. You don't stop the cycle there, you get cynical. What does cynical look like? Well, cynical happens when you begin to think and then say things out loud like, nobody understands. No one has ever been here before. Nobody can do my job except for me. Okay? Cynicism. You don't stop that, you begin to withdraw and isolate yourself. That's escapism. I'm going to escape to food, alcohol, drugs, all kinds of other things. When your friends say, where have you been? You might be withdrawing and isolating yourself. When you ask your friends, where have you been? That's one of the nicest things you can do because they might be escaping, and eventually you don't stop there. You'll end up at a place of total exhaustion and burnout. And we said, just like anything in life, if you want to have some kind of life change, the starting place to recover is you realize it. Right? You realize it. You got a problem in your life. First thing you need to do is this. You need to realize it's a problem. I love when Celebrate Recovery, one of the very first things we do, we say, my life's become completely unmanageable. Awesome. What is that? I just realized it. If you have burnout issues, I want you to talk to Daryl after worship today about Celebrate Recovery. Great place to begin recovering from burnout because you realize it. We said step two, you need to rest. Best thing about Elijah, he sat down under a broom tree, had a quick prayer, and what'd he do? He fell asleep. That's awesome. Who knew sleeping could be a spiritual activity? How many people are taking a nap today? Whoa. Yeah. And we need rest. In fact, God commands rest. We looked last week at Sabbath rest. It's a specific kind of rest, and God uses as many verses about Sabbath rest as he does idolatry. Why? Because so often we idolize our work. And what God wants us to remember is that we are human beings. We are not human doings. So we need rest. You need to take a break. The earth will continue to spin. I promise you. And if it doesn't, well, then that will be the great and glorious coming of the Lord, and we could talk about that later on. Now, the story picks up with this. It says this, strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And once you realize something, whenever you see this word, 40, I want you to stop reading your Bible and go, whoa. Just like that. Try it out. There it is. Woo! Why? 40 is a time of preparation or a time of testing. Preparation or testing. Anytime you find the number 40 in the scriptures, like Noah reigned for 40 days and 40 nights. Can you imagine what it was like when Noah took out the building permit on that ark? What do the neighbors say? So he and the sons, they build this thing forever and a day, and finally it rains 40 days. I imagine that was a season of testing for Noah. I mean, he had to think, how long is this going to go? And then when it's over, the face of creation begins to be renewed. Moses spends 40 days and 40 nights on the mountain with God. Jesus goes into the desert 40 days, 40 nights to be tested. That's the word in Scripture, tested by the devil. So we know that in these 40 days and 40 nights, there is some kind of test or preparation for Elijah. Now, the beauty of this is that before Elijah travels these 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, Elijah was very much running from God. Now, in these 40 days and 40 nights, Elijah is very much running to God. His life begins to change directions. Yes? Yes. Yes. Well, what's Horeb? Horeb is the same thing as Mount Sinai. The place where Moses receives the Ten Commandments. Now, it's interesting, as we talk about this running from and running to, you know, we might wonder, why did Elijah go there? Maybe he believed God's power and presence were there. And it's a funny phenomenon how this manifests itself in church life today. I can almost guarantee you, that we'll call it 90% of the time, because you always got to leave some room for something else. Almost 90% of the time, when you check out 3 weeks or more from church, something's going on in your life. It's burnout. There might be some kind of sin or struggle. You might be at a bad place. When you check out for more than 3 weeks, I guarantee you 90% of the time, so it's not exactly a guarantee. I mostly guarantee you 90% of the time you're running from someone, something. So often that ends up being God. And it's weird. It's weird how we do that, because you would think that in moments where we're experiencing burnout or experiencing some kind of suffering or struggle or trauma in our lives, we would run to God. But this is never the way that it works. You know, lots of folks say, I shouldn't have this struggle. I shouldn't have any sins or suffering. I should have it all under control. I've got the whole world in my hands. When they sing that song, it's all about me. So Elijah did the same thing, right? I'm Superman. And now, as he's been running from God, now he begins to run to God. After the period of resting, once you realize and rest from burnout, you're able to start recharging. hey, I've got a problem. I need to stop. What a beautiful word, stop. It can be used in a variety of different contexts, like somebody is doing something you don't like, stop. Your life is headed in a direction you don't like, stop. You pray that the person coming from the other way actually does stop, especially because we like to run red lights here in Louisville. But that's a sermon for another day. So part three of this series is quite simply that. It's about recharging our spiritual batteries. You realize, you rest, now it's time to recharge. And we recharge by moving toward God. And that's going to be the focal point. Now, what do I mean by this whole idea of recharging our spiritual batteries? I want you to realize something. One of the best parts about coming to worship on Sunday morning is you remember who you are and you remember who God is. So this is the first day of a week, yes? See, Microsoft Outlook might say that Monday's the first day of the week, but this is really the first day of the week. So Sunday, the very first thing that we do, we remember, we recharge, and one of the things that we remember is how small we are and how big God is. Shout to the Lord, right? Mountains bow down, seas will roar, just at the sound of your name. God, you're so big, I'm so small. You are so infinite, you keep going on and on and on. I'm so finite. I don't go on and on and on. I might go 80, 90 years, but that's as far as it goes. And one of the reasons we need to remember this of how finite and small we are is so we'll recharge. How often do we try to live life on the basis of our own strength, our own ability, our own power, our own wisdom, and then we end up broke down on the side of the road and we say, well, how do we get here? Because you're finite and God is infinite. A burnout so often happens when our spiritual batteries are on empty. We haven't ever stopped to recharge. We never realized we needed to. And that's the reason we start there. Oh, I can do this. I'm Superman. I'm Superwoman. I've got the whole world in my hands. So we realize that we rest, and then we begin to recharge, and we recognize, boy, you know, God's a little bigger than I am. Boy, I probably could use a rest. I could probably stand to be recharged. I could probably stand to be reminded that God can take care of this and God can take care of me. And so when Elijah leaves for Horeb, he's headed for this 40-day season of preparation and infilling of being alone with God. You know, so often we end up at burnout because we think we can do it all. And yet the deal is we are so limited. Can we do lots of things? Sure, but in the grand scheme of eternity and how big the universe is, we are so limited. We need God, and we need to recharge. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. We'll go to the mountain of God. Now, when Elijah gets to Horeb, Mount Sinai, the mountain of God, the scriptures tell us, there he went into a cave and spent the night, and the word of the Lord came to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? I don't know about you, I find this very funny. Because do you sincerely believe that God didn't know? Do you think Elijah showed up? He's like, I'm shocked. Elijah, what are you doing here? I had no idea you were headed here. This is a complete surprise. How did you find your way here? No, he knows. I mean, like God doesn't know. The more interesting question we might ask is, why did Elijah go there in the first place? Because God didn't tell him to. It isn't as though when Elijah broke down underneath the broom tree, the first thing God said was, Elijah, I got a great idea. You're burned out. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to travel 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Sinai. Are you in? No, we don't get that anywhere. And so what we're left to do is wonder, why did Elijah go here? And I imagine the simplest explanation for this, which is usually the best, is that Elijah realized this is the one place he knew God would be present. Why? Because this is where Israel received the commandments. This is where they formed their identity as a people. And for a guy who's completely lost his identity, he's completely burned out, I'm going to go to Horeb. I'm going to go to the mountain of God because I know God is going to be present there. And so God asks Elijah, why are you here? I didn't call for you. Why did you show up? And listen to what he says. He says, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. Maybe we put it like this. God, I've been so on fire from you. I have read every single book at Lifeway that tells me how to have the best life and how to live it right and how to do it right. And I have followed all of the checklists, God, and I have served. I have served every single minute of my life. I'm involved in like 16 Bible studies, God. And I've been doing all this stuff for you. And I've been working so hard for you. And I've been working and working and working and working and working. And I don't understand, God, why have you let me down? Are we getting real yet? Why didn't you do this? Why didn't I get my best life now? I did everything that I was supposed to do. I was on fire. I was zealous. There was nobody better at it than me. I did all these things to be great for you, God. I kind of almost hear it like a prophet out of the 1980s who shares something profound. When Elijah has this interaction. Don't you hear it? I'm all out of love. I'm so lost without you. You're never going to read that scripture in the same way again. I promise you that. Don't you hear it? I think it's a moment where Elijah begins to realize, I imagine if Elijah were to sit back and look at his life at that moment and realize, I'm so zealous. I try to do everything for you. I try to do it all right. And you let me down. Who's it really all about? It's about Elijah. It's about Elijah. Wow, all of the elements of burnout are here. Stress, lack of balance, cynicism. Nobody else can do this but me. Withdrawal and isolation. I mean, after all, why would he end up on Mount Sinai? And burnout and exhaustion. He's not supposed to be there. I've been zealous, God. I'm the only one left. Nobody understands. It's all been for you, God. I feel so alone. I'm all out of love. And notice how God responds. It says, the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart, shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, what are you doing here? Throughout the Old Testament, when you see things like earthquake, fire, thunder, lightning, the technical term for it is theophanic presence. Try that out with me. Theophanic presence. You're like, wow, that's a great $1 word. What does it mean? A theos is a word that means God, phanic sort of phenomenon or happening. So whenever there's activity on the mountain, don't miss this now. Who cares about the word? Whenever there's activity on the mountain, we would expect there God is doing great big things. And yet, how does God show up? In a whisper. Elijah, what are you doing here? God knows why he's there, but does Elijah? See, the question is really not for God to figure it out. The question is, does Elijah have it all figured out? I wonder something, brothers and sisters. How often do we want to so zealously do something so great, so powerful for God, that we lose sight of our need for God's power in the process, which leaves us burned out? And churches, we are the masters of this. We're the masters of this. I am guilty of this. Because what we do is we say, we have to get something done. Heaven and earth will stop moving. The earth will leave its rotational axis. If this doesn't get done, who are we going to find? And invariably, everybody goes, such and such a person, because they can always get it done. This happens in corporate America all the time. We need to take more on. We need to do more. We need to have more reporting. We need to have more reports, because that's what we all need, is more reports. And at the end of the reports, we're going to have extra reports to tell us if the first reports were good. Well, who's going to get it done? Well, we'll put it on Smith. Smith always gets it done. We need to have more visits to more places and more of the world. Well, who's going to fly there? We'll put it on such and such a person because they're willing to go. And then the hard part is as human beings, we get sucked into this, right? I'm going to do great things for you, God. I'm going to climb to the heap of the mountain, and I'm going to do all these wonderful things, and it's all going to be for you. And we get consumed in the process, and we end up burned out because we've never stopped to ask, is this really what God wanted in the first place? And God, can I really do this on my own strength, or is this really about you? And that's when God's voice comes in a whisper. Not in the activity, but in the whisper. What are you doing? You're killing yourself. Why are you making a wreck of your life? This is ugly. I don't want this for you. So what do? We either listen or drown it out with what? More thunder and rumbling and, more activity. Look at what God says to Elijah. It says, the Lord said to him, go back the way you came, go to the desert of Damascus, because that's where everybody wants to go. When you get there, anoint Hazael, king over Aram, also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel, and anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel-Mehaloah, to succeed you as prophet. Jehu will put to death anyone who escapes the sword of Hazael, and Elisha will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal and whose mouths have not kissed him. Let me invite our worship team to come on back forward. God makes it so simple. Elijah, you're doing all these things. You're on the run. There's stress. There's lack of balance. You're cynical. You have all these problems. I'm going to make it very, very simple for you. I don't know about you. I love it when God makes it simple. He says, you got three things, because any good sermon has three things in it, and a poem. Maybe not. Three things. Here's the deal. Elijah, I want you to go and anoint two kings. That's job number one. Job number two, Elijah, I want you to anoint a successor. You're going to train up somebody to come after you. And the third thing is, I'm going to win the day. I'm paraphrasing it, of course, but I'm going to win the day. Not you, Elijah. Not your power, not your strength, not your wisdom, because you don't have the whole world in your hands. It's in my hands. And I'm going to win the day. When your life, brothers and sisters, is on the road to burnout, so often you will find a zealousness that has gone unchecked. I'm going to do great things. I'm going to do everything. We're going to have everything. We're going to be everything. A zealousness that's gone unchecked. And we've forgotten who our source of strength is, who our source of power is, who the guide in our lives is. It's God. Did God want this for us in the first place? That's the question that we never ask ourselves. When you forget the source of your strength, the source of your life, the source of your hope, that's where you get to burnout. And how do you avoid it? You realize, and you rest, and you recharge. You recharge. You recharge every day because you realize I only go so far. I don't have everything it takes, but God does. And the beauty is, the grace is, don't miss this part, the grace is God meets us in a whisper. Let's pray. I want to invite you to have a seat, if you would, please. And I'd love for you to just set your hands comfortably in your lap, palms up. I'd love for you to pray after me. God, I realize today how big you are and how small I am. Forgive me for the moments I forget that, for trying to fill my life with so much busyness and activity, so many great things I'm going to accomplish for you, that I lose sight of you. Retake the throne of my life and lead me in your ways. Guide me in your paths, that I might know you and love you more. Recharge my spiritual batteries today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I remember one time I was on a flight that was overbooked. Anybody ever been there? I really think if I were a venture capitalist, I would start a business that sold front row seats. There we go, to overbooked flights. I could make a lot of money at that because it is classic. I mean, we're talking Oscar quality drama performances that happen on overbooked flights. You will watch people who can. I mean, they will rival Broadway actors and actresses telling you and pouring out their hearts about how if they don't make this flight, the world will stop rotating. How if they don't make this flight, people are going to die. How if they don't make this flight, puppies are going to howl at the moon. I mean, it is absolutely amazing. It's amazing. I mean, it is more fun watching than going to one of those big-time wrestling events, which I have been to. It is just amazing because you will hear people come up with all kinds of different stories about how important they are, and the poor ticket agent, and the poor flight staff. Oh, I'm important. Don't you know who I am? Honey, ain't nobody in the airport know who you are. Right? Nobody knows. Nobody knows who you are. But I'm important and I need to get home. And I get it, right? Because nobody wants to be stuck in an airport eating Cinnabon for the rest of the day and into next day. I get it. Everybody wants to get home. I see those moments as opportunity because I know I'm going to get a free ticket. So then you go to the desk and you tell somebody, and then you watch other people step in and, oh, God bless you, as if they're the one who's going to get the ticket. Maybe, maybe not. In so many ways, we get so zealous about achieving so much and doing such great things in our lives and doing such great things for God. And in the end, as wise and strong and powerful as you are, you end up overbooked. And then when you miss a flight, when life circumstances change, when your schedule that's overbooked to the brim gets 5 minutes off, what happens? Drama. Drama. Don't you know who I am? Don't you know, God, what I was set out to do today? I'm Superman. I'm Superwoman. I've got the whole world in my hands. So many times in places like airports or other sorts of places in life, we get reminded about how big God is and how small we are. And the beauty is God will recharge and revitalize you in those moments. He did for Elijah. This is actually a picture on Mount Sinai of Elijah's cave. It would be to the left of those two little trees there. There is now a retreat center up on Mount Sinai, I think for a very good reason, obviously. But if God can meet you in a whisper, he can change your life. And the beauty of it is the process of recharging gives God the time and space to create simplicity and vitality in our lives. Elijah, here's the deal. Wipe all of the rest of the stuff away. I got three things for you to do. The first is you got to go anoint two kings. That's easy. Grab some oil, dump it over their head, rub it in, call them king. Boom. Number two, I want you to go find this dude named Elisha. He's going to succeed you. He's going to walk with you. You're going to train him up. Dump some oil over his head. Same deal. Call him prophet. And third thing is watch. Watch because I'm going to win the day. Simple. Simple. That's it, Elijah. That's the only thing you've got to be concerned about. And when you feel like you're the only one left, that nobody understands, that no one else can do it, when you're wondering, God, why haven't you fixed all of my problems for me? I guarantee you somewhere in there is misplaced zeal. And misplaced zeal will lead you to burnout every time because you'll keep working harder and harder and harder and harder to achieve all that you think you need to achieve. And all along the way, you get further and further and further and further away from God. Why? That wasn't his purpose in the first place. But when you realize it, when you rest, when you stop and recharge, gives God the time and the space to create simplicity and vitality in your life. And this process of recharging we're talking about today, how do we do it? Well, the answer is it depends because it looks different for everybody. It looks different for everybody. I have a friend who at the outset of this series decided one of the best things that I can do to be healthy and in tune is I'm going to close my office door first thing in the morning for the first 30 minutes of the day. I'm not talking to my business partner or clients. I'm going to read my scriptures and pray. Great way to recharge. Some people, it's taking a walk. Some people, it's reading a book. Some people love to go sit in a coffee shop and just kind of stare out into outer space. Some people, they might like to go take a spiritual retreat. Maybe that's your thing. I enjoy God's green pastures that has 18 little holes in it. Because I can go and be alone, all by myself. And God sometimes says, Ebel, you're such a knucklehead. That's pretty regular, actually. But yeah, I mean, everybody has their own specific way. If you're an outdoors person, then go be in the outdoors and recharge. Whatever it is, you've got to find that quiet place where you can stop and unplug and recharge with God and make an appointment to do so. I cannot tell you how many times I've heard throughout this teaching series, I don't have time. That's not true. That is not true. See, part of what recharging does is it simplifies, right? And when you simplify, it means because I'm going to choose to do this so I can be healthy, it means I'm going to not choose to do this so I can be healthy. Every time you say yes, brothers and sisters, you have just said a no to something else. Sometimes it's okay to say no. No, I can't do it. Well, why? Because I don't have the time. Why? Because I made time for something else. Oh. And then you walk away. Maybe you meet with a trusted advisor. Maybe that's your thing. Maybe it's a counselor or a spiritual guide. Maybe you journal. Maybe that's your thing. The point is, figure out that space, create that time to recharge with God. And I bet you'll hear God's voice in a whisper. Let's pray. God, you are so great, and we are so small. And we're thankful that whether it's on an overbooked flight or in a place of burnout under a tree, looking at our calendar or even thinking about our week, we realize how much we need you. We realize that you're the source of our strength. You're the source of our life. You're the one who put breath in our lungs this morning. You're the one who helped us to rest last night that we might feel refreshed when we woke up this morning. You're the one who straightens out broken lives. You're the one who heals our deepest wounds. You're the one who saves us from death itself. And the reason is simple. You love us, and you are God. Help us this week remember that we're not God. How much we need you. Help us to take time, to schedule the time, to recharge. We ask this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Somebody texted in, wanted to share this as it relates to our announcement for renovation groups. Says, I've been dealing with stressful situations for so long and wanted to check out so many times. My renovation group has played a huge part as they have refused to be silent and would not let me check out. I'm thankful for accountability and friends that do life with me. That's awesome. That's what it's all about. A recharging kind of place. Hey, look, here's the deal. If you're overbooked, you can't make time and space in your life to recharge. So my encouragement this week is figure out where and when you're going to do that and then see what God will do. Easy? Simple? There you go. Have a great week. Be the revolution.